prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution.
Welcome.
I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
And you are more than welcome to join us at Revolution Church this morning.
10:15.
That's right. So not too far away. About 45 minutes away right now.
1111 West South is where you want to go.
Yep. So you can start getting dressed.
They still got that construction going on those tracks.
The railroad tracks have a little construction.
All right. So you got to go around.
If you're coming from the east, just going to have to go one block around.
All right.
It's right by Ace Hardware. So right down the street from Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know where it's at. Anyway, hey, you are more than welcome to come to Revolution Church. Thank you for joining us for Truth Revolution this morning.
Right.
You can check us out online at truthrevolution.tv.
Yep. You can actually find past shows, and you can donate to keep us on the air.
That's right. We're asking for people to drop in and shoot us an email to stop right. in at Revolution Church.
Oh, yeah. Give us questions.
Yeah. This is what the show is all about, is interacting with you guys.
Right.
We want to know if this is helping you at all. So today we're talking about characteristics of God. Normally, as Dave's pointed out the last few
right.
weeks, we've normally talked about proof for Christianity, logical evidence and such as that. For the last few weeks, we've been doing a study on the characteristics of God.
Right. And this is the last one. This is the last one for the characteristics of
next,
God.
So. Next week, we're moving on.
Right.
I think this is the fifth one. We've looked at five different mm-hmm. aspects of God's character. You know, we spend so much time proving the Bible true, proving that Jesus rose from the dead, looking at scientific and archaeological arguments for the Bible or other things, that we just want to step back for a while and say, so who is this God that we're talking
right.
about anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been important.
Well, and we've done a fair job, if I may say so, of proving God's existence.
Yeah.
So now that we know who God or what God is or that God is,
who
yeah. is God
yeah.
is
yeah,
what
exactly.
we want to try and
All right.
ascertain.
So
here.
To start today, we're talking about God's goodness and
mm-hmm.
what does it mean? Why is there pain if God is good and
right.
is God good and all that stuff? And here's a good joke. All right, Dave, you ready for this?
A right. good joke?
Yes, a
okay.
joke. All right.
Go ahead.
There's some psychiatry students in their emotional extremes class.
Uh-huh.
And the professor said, hey, I want to set some parameters here. All right, so what's the opposite of joy? And one student says, well, sadness. Well, that's right, okay. Well, what's the opposite of depression? The professor asked another student. Well, I believe that would be elation. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the opposite of woe? The professor asked a young man from Texas. And the young man from Texas said, sir, I believe that the opposite of woe would be giddy up.
I knew that was coming.
Okay.
Ba-dum-tsh.
All right. Is that a good joke? That's pretty good. No,
yeah.
That's pretty good
I think you had a reason for that one.
Okay. All right. Now, here's another joke. You ready?
This has all of a sudden turned into the all Jeff comedy half hour.
I was bored with the character of God. Is that no? All right, here's another joke. Well, I'll tell you why. Okay, a bear walks into a bar
mm-hmm.
and says, "I'd like a beer and some of the peanuts."
Okay,
and the bartender says, "Sure, but why the big pause?" That is not the engineer's rolling his eyes here. That is not a good joke.
Right.
Right?
No,
that's
not
a,
at
that's
all.
A terrible
yeah.
joke. Right? There's clearly a difference between good and bad.
Right.
I mean,
okay. I
just wanted to draw
saying.
That distinction right now. All right. Look, Psalm 100 says the Lord is good.
Right.
His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. All right. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe what the Bible says, God is good.
But let's make no mistake. The goodness that God is way beyond what we know it to be. And the jokes you just told...
You don't think they were that good?
No, listen. The difference between the good and the bad in those jokes gives no kind of concept of how much good, more good God is than what we think or what we know.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, right.
Nice try.
Some jokes are good. Some jokes are bad. But when we say a joke is good, do we mean the same thing as when we say God is good?
I would disagree with that.
Okay, right. I mean, God, when we say God is good, we don't mean God's enjoyable.
Right.
We mean that God is always doing mm-hmm. the good choice morally.
Right.
When I was a kid, I had a friend named Brad who was a little bit older than me. He was a lot bigger than me. Mm-hmm. He was always kind of pushing me around, and this is early elementary school.
Right.
And I don't mean like pushing me around like a bully, but I mean maybe you had one of those friends. You know, he was just bigger and stronger, and mm-hmm. they just kind of do what they want.
An ox.
Yeah, he'd always kind of take my toys and break them or whatever.
No.
And so my mom would like kind of run interference for me uh-huh. there, and if she saw him getting rough, she'd stop him. Well, one day she decided, you know what? I need to teach Jeff how to stand up for himself. I'm not mm-hmm. gonna. I'm not gonna step in and let this Brad do whatever he wants.
Uh-huh.
And so he starts taking one of my toy guitars, like a fairly nice one that you can actually play, and he starts smashing it, like standing on the front porch, swinging it like a bat, hitting the post on
nice.
Our front door, like breaking this thing. Now, here's the deal: did my mom do good?
She her intentions were very good.
My mom did good because I had to learn to mm-hmm. grow up.
Right.
Sometimes a parent has to make choices that are difficult or that are not pleasing to the child to do good, to be a good parent. What does it mean then that God is good? Because the word good is a little bit too ambiguous. So we all learn that God's good, but we have no idea what that actually means.
Right.
This requires really its own series. So I'm going to probably take about 7 weeks of material
right.
and squeeze it in here. We're going to go through this stuff really fast.
Well,
okay?
When we talk about the goodness of God, I'm reminded of the rich man who chased Jesus down and basically said, you know, called him good teacher, and Jesus rebuked him
mm-hmm.
and said, no one is good, only God is good.
Yes.
And so our concept of good, this is really good, and there, or this is really bad, we can't even comprehend how good God is.
True, and you know, it's an interesting point about that story that you brought up. Jesus, when the guy calls him good teacher, Jesus says, why do you call me good?
Right.
God alone is good. Jesus wasn't rejecting the idea that he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was trying to make this person realize who he was. He says, hey, why do you call me good? Because only God's good.
I see.
You see, and mm-hmm. so he was trying to draw this out from the guy because this goodness versus evil, the separation is huge here.
Right.
And they saw this in Jesus, but Jesus wanted them to make a further connection. Okay, what does this mean about this guy?
Right.
So look, goodness and badness in God has been discussed for thousands of years. It's generally been called the Euthyphro dilemma. It is an act of God. This is if you're a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
Is an act of God good because God says it's good, or is something good and God commands it because it's good?
Right.
All right. Now Plato discussed this with Euthyphro a long time ago. And really, you have the two options. Something is good because God said so. And that means you can't say that something is good just because God says it is good. I mean, that would imply burning babies with cigarettes would be good if God said to do it.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's kind of a head scratcher. Like, wait a minute. So if God told me to just murder people randomly, that would be good? And everybody's like, well, no, God would never tell you to do that. No, but we're saying, this is the dilemma. Either something is good, so God tells you to do it, or whatever God tells you to do is good.
Right.
So that's your first option. Whatever God tells you to do is good. Second option is an act is good, so God says do it. This means God isn't really God because there's something above God called goodness that
right.
he has to be subject to. Meaning he wouldn't really be the God. He would just be the conscious God. There would be this standard above him that he has to obey.
Can I interject a little bit?
Sure.
There is a set, here's maybe possibly what could be a solution.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
God has set forth what is good, and so therefore he tells us to do what is good.
So
I mean, I'm not.
So you're saying that whatever God says to do is good?
Not necessarily, but God has set forth laws in the universe about what is good. Therefore, I don't know.
So you're saying there is good, and so God just designs the universe based on that.
God designed good.
That God designed good, so whatever God says is good. But here's the answer, because Plato and guys like that, they lived in a place where there was a pantheon of gods, where there was a lot of different gods. Some were more good, some were less good. And so they had to try to figure out, well, which one's good and which one's, if this God tells me to do something, is that a good thing to do?
Right.
For us, we say God is good.
I see.
It's not that God goodness is above God, or that whatever God says to do is good. It's that the very nature of God is good. God and goodness are the same thing. You were all, like, when you were talking about that, you're like, right, like almost right. there.
Well, I was flip-flopping back and forth on either side of it.
Yeah, you were trying to get there, but yeah, it's like that, and this is it. I mean, God is good. That that word is, if you wrote it out, God is good, you'd want to circle it and star it and underline it and bold it, because that's the whole part right there. That's who he is. I am Jeff. You are Dave. God is good.
Gotcha.
Right? And so it's not that whatever he says to do is good. It's that he just is. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. He is. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Right.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. It's not just God does good. It's not whatever God commands becomes good. It's that he is good.
Right.
And this series about the attributes of God. And here's something we have to grasp before we can answer any questions about goodness. We define what is good by saying whatever God does is good, because goodness is the very nature of God.
Right.
So to learn what is good, we have to see what God does, especially what Jesus himself did.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a little detour here.
Okay.
We got a question from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, this is talking about forgiveness and stuff like that. Family member comes to him or this person every year and says they forgive them for what they did. This person has no idea what they've done. And when they ask, this person that forgives them says, when you're ready to deal with it, then you can.
Even though they ask every year.
Yeah, even though they ask every year.
Hmm.
They want to know what to do in that situation.
Well, one of my favorite phrases is that you cannot control other people,
right?
But you can control yourself, along with the Holy Spirit helping you control yourself. The Bible says you need to do your best to be at peace with everyone so long as it depends upon you. So this person needs to work their best, needs to do whatever they can to be at peace with this family member of theirs, as far as it depends on them. If this person refuses to act reasonably, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
But you can go to this person, you can write them a letter, you can sit down with them and tell them plainly, I'm sorry that I've offended you. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to offend you. You know, help me know what I can do to restore this relationship. Jesus told us that when someone sins against us, we should go to them one-on-one. Now, if we have offended somebody, I think the opposite might hold true as well.
Right.
If you've done wrong, you go to that person. In my premarital counseling, I always ask people the question before they get married. All right, now, when you get married and something goes wrong in your marriage, who's responsible for going and apologizing? And they usually say, well, whoever's mostly responsible. And I say, no. The answer is, I am.
Right.
Not me as the pastor, but you
right.
whoever you are, you are responsible. If you both say, I'm responsible for going and apologizing and throwing my pride down, if they were both willing to do that all the time, their marriage wouldn't have any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing here. We need to be willing to just throw our pride down and say, you know what, it's my goal to get along with all people as far as it depends on me, so I'm going to do whatever I can to get along with this person. And you know, if they simply reject it after that, then... you got to move on. You can't help it.
Yeah, like you said earlier, there's nothing you can do to control the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Only you're able to control yourself, and so you can't deal with them.
That's right. I had a situation where someone was really mad at me for something I did a couple years ago, and I had no idea what I had done, really. I had no idea they were mad at me. They sent me an email with, like, crazy insults, and so I just kind of ignored them for a year or so, but it always bothered me. And so I just recently went back to them and said, hey, you know, I want you to forgive me. And I didn't really know what I had done.
Right.
I didn't think I'd done anything wrong. But I said, I want you to forgive me for whatever it was that I'd done wrong. I want our relationship to work. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I'm not a perfect person.
Right.
So forgive me, and let's move on together. Let's go grab lunch someday, it's working. So
good.
All right. Now we're obviously going to the break, but there's some implications of God's goodness,
right?
Okay, that we need to hit on about, like, well, these are just really cool. For instance, God's not indifferent about anything. God doesn't think bad thoughts about anyone, but we got to tell you what that means on the other side of this break.
Okay.
All right. Truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. Check out our website.
Yep. You can donate.
Get ready for Revolution Church.
Coming up in about half an hour.
Yeah, 10:15 we start. So come on over to Revolution Church, man. You're going to love it. This place will love you.
Mm-hmm. And come as you are.
Come as you are. We're not formal. We're informal, except for our very serious listening and learning about the Word of God, which mm-hmm. I teach there, and we do music. Dave rocks the bass. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, come on out to Revolution Church. We'll catch you on the other side of this break.
Revolution.
And we're back. Whew. Truth Revolution, talking about the attributes of God.
God's goodness. So here's some implications of God's goodness.
Okay.
If you're back from the break. Actually, before we get into this, go to truthrevolution.tv
mm-hmm.
and pound on coming out to Revolution Church this morning.
There you go.
I'm preaching this morning. Unfortunately, I'm also singing this morning, so it'll be a comedy.
Oh, you're not that bad.
Come on out this morning, though.
Much.
So it'll... What? Anyway. All right, back to God's goodness. God is not indifferent about anything because he's good in his core and has judgments about all things
right.
that are based on goodness. Now, these implications are from a book by A.W. Tozer, who is a really, really smart
right.
guy. He's,
mm-hmm.
he's an ODG, an old dead guy, but these ODGs are really, really intelligent. So it's really good to read the ODG books.
Right.
But, okay, so when we see in these verses that God talks about knowing even a sparrow and feeding the sparrow, and when the sparrow falls,
right.
he knows it. He's not indifferent to even a little bird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. God
right.
is so good. He's not indifferent to anything that has a moral component to it.
Right.
Nothing is beyond God's view or care. Here's another
implication.
Implication number two. God does not and has not and will not think bad thoughts about anyone. No, I know. You
said you're going to explain that.
Yeah, you want to reject this one because you're like, well, no. I know God knows some people are evil.
Right.
And what about Hitler? God didn't think anything bad about Hitler? Well, no. Listen, God doesn't sit around thinking, that dude is such a jerk.
Right.
I hate him so much. I mean, God's not sitting around doing that. He's taught us not to do such things. That's from his nature. He's taught us to love. His
mm-hmm.
thoughts are either that thing was evil or that thing was good. He doesn't sit around hating, disliking.
Right. Does God grieve?
Yes.
God grieves over the evil that men do.
Yes. I mean, absolutely, in an anthropomorphic sense, God grieves
mm-hmm.
over what we do. And the evil actions we take. But he loves all his people and does not think evil thoughts about people just as the person
right.
themselves. The next implication...
Learn the word, man.
I'm going to learn the word at some point, hopefully by the end of the show. The next implication is this. The reason for my existence is God's goodness.
Uh-huh. I agree with that.
You do?
Yes. Because if it weren't for God's goodness, we wouldn't exist because... We are sinful creatures.
Mm.
We deserve eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
And for God to overlook that and to look forward to the time when things are going to be corrected,
yeah.
he has created us and therefore is good because of that.
Absolutely. And even before that, when God created light, what did he say about the light?
It is good.
In Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then God created the earth. It is good. Plants. It is good. Trees. It is good. Animals. It is good. When he created humans, he said... It is very good.
Right.
In other words, I have expressed myself well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is saying. God's creation of you is an expression of his internal goodness. And that's why we better not talk badly about other people. When we hate someone, we're implicitly hating God's good creation. Without God's goodness, there would be no creation, no universe, no life, no you. Isn't
wow.
that amazing?
I agree.
Yeah. Now, if these things are true, it's confusing because it doesn't always feel like life is good.
Right.
We do foster care, as I talk about every now and then here, and it's a very good thing. But every now and then, it can result in very sad feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It can result in bad things. People may accuse foster parents falsely.
Right.
It hurts when a child leaves the home. It's
mm-hmm.
painful. There are some bad feelings there, even though it's a very good thing. And at the same time, we know of people who basically give God the middle finger. You know, they willingly break laws. They basically just do whatever they want, and they have lots of kids. They never get in trouble. They seem
right.
blessed. They have money. They've got a
mm-hmm.
good home. Why is God not indifferent to this? He's good, so what's going on? Well, if God's so good, here's the question. If God's so good, why do evil people do so well in life, and why do good people seem to suffer?
You know, you covered this last week at the sermon.
I did.
At church, yes.
Yeah, just
you did.
Yeah, just vaguely.
Or maybe it was the week before.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it was last week, just like real briefly, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we need an answer that encompasses all we know about God. He's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all good. And if God's all powerful, he can stop evil. If he's all knowing, he knows where evil is. If he's all good, he wants to stop evil.
Right.
And we must remember that whatever God does is an expression of his good nature. So we're asking, how do I reconcile what I perceive as not good with what I know about God who is good? You know, I have actually seven really good answers to this question. Uh-huh. I don't have time to give seven answers.
Okay, well, give some of them.
I want to. If we have time, I have three here that I want to give you, and we're gonna go basically as long as the engineer here will let us go.
Drag us out of the station
until the clock is the theme music is playing. All right. Luke 18:19, Jesus is talking. He says, "No one is good except God alone." You mm-hmm. pointed that verse out earlier.
Right.
If God is so good, why do evil people do so well? And the question is really, I want you to think about this, okay? If you're saying, why do evil people do so well? Why doesn't God destroy evil? You're really asking this, why hasn't God destroyed me?
Right.
I can't be judgmental against someone else because the difference between me and someone else is minimal. I've done wrong. I've done a lot of wrong. If I want God to destroy evil, he would have to destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between me and Hitler is small compared to the difference between Hitler and God,
right,
or me and God.
Right.
It's very minimal. And so I can't sit in judgment against someone else and tell God to destroy all evil unless you're talking about my kind of evil.
Right.
You know, I mean, Psalm 34:8, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Uh-huh.
Who's good? Taste and see that the Lord and you are both really good. No, that's not what the Bible says.
No.
No, it says taste and see that the Lord is good, not you, not me. God is good, and he doesn't have to be willing to let us continue, but he does. He doesn't want to destroy evil, otherwise he'd destroy you, and he'd destroy me. And he will deal with it at some point, but he's not dealing with it right now because he's patient with us.
Right.
So that is one answer, and that's logically true. It's sufficient. But it doesn't really feel that good.
Right.
You know, it's not like an emotional, like, oh, wow, that really made me feel good about evil in the world. God could destroy me, too. So we still have these kind of questions, like, well, why does God let children suffer? Because they don't seem that evil. And, you know, why do saints doing God's work take great losses? You know, I got an email or a message from someone who, there was a new missionary friend who went into, I think it was Ethiopia, and their little daughter got malaria. Really, really sick, might have even died. And you would say, wow, is God unfair? You know, at least I'm trying to do good.
Right.
In other words, we're saying, like, my life is super important, and God should take notice. Here's what we don't want to do. Here's what we want to say, okay? My life is not God. If my life is going bad, that does not mean God is bad.
Right.
Your life is not the same as God. We mix this up often, okay? We often have this false view of God's goodness. Hey, God will heal all your problems. Well, that's not true. God never said that. We've put that onto God.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are simply what they are. We've sinned. The world's messing up. People are doing wrong. We're doing wrong. There's disease because the world's full of sin. I cannot use how well my life is going compared to someone else's life as a measure of God's goodness. Matthew 5:45 says, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Like, the moment we start saying, I'm a good person, God owes me a good life, we've actually said that good is a standard above God that he has to obey, or we've treated our own lives as God.
Right.
You see, God's mm-hmm. attributes aren't definable by what happens in our life. God's good apart from whatever happens to me. We tend to think that that way with big things in life, like death and great loss. Like, oh, well, God, you know, God's... my brother died and God is still good. I believe it. I know it. But to show the absurdity, like, we have to think of it, if this fan stops working, God must be evil.
Right.
You know, some people will say, well, you know, there's a lot of death, there's a lot of pain in this world. God, maybe God's not good. Well, just think about it in little terms. I have to sit next to the guy who smells bad. God obviously doesn't exist. Right? It seems ridiculous when you have the small term, but it's when you expand it out, it's still true in the big terms.
Mm-hmm.
It's illogical to assume that my life is hard, therefore God is bad.
Right. Our life is hard because God gave us the decision to be able to do with our lives what we want to do.
That's exactly right.
And so, hey, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Okay, let's go ahead and roll.
Bible contradiction.
Speaking of good and bad and sinful and not, you got a Bible contradiction from infidels.org.
Sweet.
Does every man sin is the title of this contradiction.
Yes.
I agree. And so does the Bible. Check this out. I've got five verses here.
Okay.
1 Kings 8:46, 2 Chronicles 6:36, Proverbs 29:20, verse 9, Ecclesiastes 7:20, and then 1 John 1:8-10.
Okay.
All of these passages imply correctly that man is sinful.
It's probably a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's just a sampling.
Okay.
Okay. However, 1 John 3:9, and of course, I believe they chose the King James Version to kind of amplify their point, but it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, the NIV version, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God.
Okay, yeah.
Now, what gives here? So, man is sinful, but they can't go on sinning.
They can't sin.
Right, if they're born again.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my study Bible here, and really briefly, you know, if you just look at 1 John 3:9, and there's like footnotes there. It says the problem is there's the present tense of this word that I... And there's some tense problems with practicing sin, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Is it absolute or is it habitual? It's hard to interpret. Basically, here's what we have to remember. In chapter 3, or in 1 John 3:9, he's talking to people who are living loose lives. And he's trying to convince them not to live loose lives any longer. So when he says, look, if you want to follow God, you're going to stop sinning. It doesn't necessarily mean every
right.
sin will remove from your life forever. In fact, that's not what he's saying, and you know it, because if you just go back one chapter, I mean, unless we think that John was daft and he had no idea what he wrote just like 5 minutes ago, if you go to chapter 2, verse 10, if he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to a liar. A little bit later, he says that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous one. He says, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus.
Right.
And so he said just like a few paragraphs ago, sometimes you will sin. But look, if you're really following Jesus, you aren't going to sin, okay? You're
right.
going to change. And so he's in a sense, using hyperbole to make a point.
Right.
Your life better be changing or you need to question your faith. And that's the absolute answer for today's.
Wow.
All right, wow, it's time to go already. I was like, that's the wrong music. No, it's time to go.
We're both sitting here looking at Chris like, is that the wrong one? He's like, right. Nope, that's the end.
All right, so here, look, really quick. You need to come out to Revolution Church. But before we go, why are the bad things? God can use pain. Mm-hmm. Pain can draw us closer to God. C.S. Lewis says that God shouts to us. Pain is a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain should draw us closer to God. It can draw us closer to God because then we pay attention. We ask questions about Him. We want to know who He is. So if you've had a hard time lately, if you experience evil, don't question God's goodness. Question what God is trying to get your attention for.
True.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, come on out to Revolution Church. We start at 10:15 a.m.
Yep, here in about 15 minutes.
So just hop in your car right now. Come on over. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. And really good to see you guys. Truthrevolution.tv is our website.
Yep.
Salinarevolution.com is our church website. Mm-hmm. Hope to see you there this morning.